What we have been doing this week in the media network is that we have covered a lot of area, a lot of topics. And before talking about how those relate to each other, I think it's especially in view of both of what Noor van Aften shared yesterday evening, which was so powerful, and also about John's Bible studies. You know, that when you talk about callings, it's so important to remember what the primary calling is, and that is to God. I don't know if you are aware of Os Guinness's book, The Call. You may not have read it, it's up there. It's for sale.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crucial. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful. He distinguishes between the primary call, called to God, and the secondary call, then called to work for God, but after having been called to God. And then also about that we all have a general calling. You know, we don't need to go around to wonder what does God want us to do, you know, in a general sense of the word. God has already given that in his word. But there is also then a special sense of calling, which is my life and my ministry. And one of the challenges in preparing, you know, a media network is that the roles we have, you know, within our special callings, to use that word, is so diverse that they cover so many different angles related to the media. So this year we've had a certain emphasis that will be interesting to hear about your ideas for next year and the year after that. What would be helpful to emphasize then? Because if you recall from the first session or from the introduction of the network, we talked about three different areas: media awareness, media presence, and media ministers, you know, the use of media in churches and one way of looking at what we have done this through the network is saying that the first session was on with Margan and Tony, dealing with media literacy and media critique, and also then resourcing equipment, which relates to what Nick and Carol talked about, even though the emphasis maybe is on the second part, the media presence. You know, when we talk about presence, we talk about being present within the major news entertainment, the major media arenas as a Christians. And you remember the topic with Paul on journalism and yeah, covering of the religion. That's really something that affects all of us, how we are pictured and other people with religious convictions are pictured in the media. And then comments, debate, you know, how we interact as Christians. Peter Saunders yesterday on how we relate to the media. We're called upon, many of us, you know, to comment either in a limited way or in a very extensive way. And then, of course, Ian on documentaries, and then Nick and Carol on engaging with movies and with the whole movie factories, really. And Henrik had a very important session on the internet and the use of the internet in cultural and relevant evangelism. And I think being inspired, inspiring each other and supporting each other in that is very, very important. So I think, so if, as you can see from that, the emphasis this year was on media presence, really.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the other two are less important. It means that this year, that was the emphasis. So maybe another year, I'm just suggesting, maybe another year, we should move and have an emphasis more on the use of media in churches and in mission work. I mean, that's just suggesting the possibility, because I know many of us are also in that context. So could you turn around, Marjorie? Welcome to us again. And it's also, you know, it's also about some of it. I think I just mentioned a couple of things there. Understanding the variety of the different roles that the media plays in society, as we've been talking about. Media is pervasive. We live in a media-saturated society, so it's important to come to it from different angles. And then, of course, we have different roles, as we talked about. We don't have just one role. We have many, many different roles.
And maybe that's something we could share on. And I think the session we had on religious freedom with Paul and us was very crucial. And I do hope we take that with us. You know, we were helped to get a deeper understanding of the setting, the context we live in. Whether it's the issue of institutional, personal, public expression of, or whatever it is. You know, it's very helpful to think along those lines. And then, of course, what Ian shared with us, storytelling. I think that was a very relevant way of ending the network in terms of the content. And Ian and I just talked about it briefly, and he asked me to pass on to all of you that tonight, when we will listen to Lindsey Brown, think about storytelling. Because he will... all the boxes will be ticked as well, you know, when Lindsey communicates. It's something about, you know, both the naturally and the supernaturally gifted gifts that are involved in Christian communication. It's both a personality thing, but also God giving us grace and spiritual gifts. So I hope that in all this we will be able to connect with each other, and also to connect with the ongoing work that the Lausanne International Movement has with media. We will actually host a media consultation in Norway in November, and the idea is to live stream some of those things and also to get input from others, whether people are in Norway or not, you know, to connect with people. So that's something that could be explored, maybe using Well Forum or whatever. So let's come back to that possibility. So these were some of my thoughts after, you know, the sessions together.
Try to bind it all together.
Yes. So maybe just go back with three key words. So maybe you could just start sharing.
Bring to the table that is not there.
Things you have been thinking about. You know, it could be something that really has meant something to you during this week. You know, something that was really important for you. Something that was really inspiring, something that you disagreed with, maybe, might even be that, something that was, you see the point, sharing anything that's important to get in the wider circle, the whole network. So, who wants to break the ice? Yes?
Maybe was really inspiring, but when I can just start thinking about how really we get to this our audience in Belarus, because I don't know. I was and heard about Dr. Damaris Ministries, and then yesterday it's wonderful Kendrick's speech. And I think in why when I doing my not Christian media work, I have maybe 500,000 people last year, and now when I go into my Christian media ministry, I have just maybe in ten times less maybe. Several thousand people. Mm-hmm. Why? And it answer for me now, it's maybe we just chose not really a good way to go to our audience, you know? Mm-hmm. Because we work in a lot in internet, in social network especially, mm-hmm. But maybe we haven't really good message, because not really good words, mm-hmm. to inspire them, maybe we work with not really right audience, because when we trying to do some with young people, we started and we thinking that we can work with young Christian. But then we just realize that young Christians don't like what we really doing, but all other young people in Belarus really like it. Mm. and we start in doing evangelizing job. Okay, sorry. Okay, but what I'm trying to say is that it was really inspiring, the Mario's experience, and experience how and experience of Mr. Ko, how... how we can go into to wider our audience, and how we must to search right message. Thanks
for sharing that. And I think it shows the connections of of your home context and of what you are sharing here. So thank you.
I work as a journalist in a Christian weekly magazine in Finland, and we have also a publishing house. We publish books and do the weekly magazine, and we have web news as well. And then this is the Mission Organizations Center. There's Mission Organization and Education, and then our magazine. And we have been talking about for a few years that we would build a media center. That Finnish Lutheran Mission Organization does. They have a TV program, and they have three radio programs. But they are like the organization is separate from the publishing house. And we have been talking about that we would build a big media center, but the problem, nothing happens. Because the problem is that everybody is busy. We don't have time to discuss and make decisions. We don't know how to do that, and we don't have enough money. We have good ideas, and we are good workers, but because the work is not growing.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, it just came into my mind that what Noor shared yesterday about think big and start small, in a way of having a vision, but then asking what are the steps that one could take towards such a vision.
Yeah, in my mind there is one step which would be quite easy to do, is to do some YouTube video clips. Mm. For example, if there's some Finnish theologian who published a book through us, so then I go and interview him and put it to YouTube. There are some youth workers who can do that techniques. But I've been thinking about that maybe 1 or 2 years and nothing happens because I'm busy. And
So it's something to remember when we pray.
Yeah.
Also, there might be 1 or 2 bright ideas that doesn't need a lot of resources when we think of money or humanism. So, bring it to the table.
And it might also be that while we are sharing now, that afterwards we could talk to each other, across just individually, the 2 or 3
Absolutely.
Or 4 of us, and saying, oh, well, I've actually got an idea, or what about what you said? Maybe that's something that I can learn from as well. I mean, both ways. So, thanks for sharing that. Johannes?
Yes. My experience is a bit unique because I'm in Europe, but I'm engaged with Ethiopians in Africa. So I'm in Greater Area, it means I'm African. So the challenge is that even the use of internet is not much known among the Pentecostals. They consider me, for example, as Martha, not as Mary, because every time they see me with the wires from the cameras and everything, no, by the Spirit of God, not by computers or something. But I see they don't get it, the idea. And it is unique.
Yes.
So, what I feel like.
But then you could say Ishi.
But what I feel is like this network gave me something incredible, that there are other people engaged in every area, Eastern Europe, for example. Mm-hmm. It's good that I feel like if we have, at the end of the day, if we share our email addresses and have network, for example, next time I can ask questions. For example, literally speaking, I have a wonderful camera, but I don't know how to use it. And I saw my brother taking a picture, wonderful picture, I never took. So I took my camera and told him, tell me how to take like this camera. So he showed me one thing and I'm ruined. That's this type of expertise. Mm-hmm. I can ask
for help.
Yeah. Like Jesus Net, for example, I never heard about it, but next time I can see, I can email him, can you help me in this? Now he knows whom he's talking. Instead of virtually, now we came together, mm-hmm. he knows one African guy is mm-hmm. needing help, so he will help. So it would be very encouraging, mm-hmm. and also we can share expertise, mm-hmm. not only money or financial, the expertise
that's
they
right.
have.
Yeah.
For example, we are mostly very, very foreign for most of the things you know easily. Some of you, you stream or something, YouTube, something you make it easily, but for me, it is like a miracle. Wow. So we can share. It's good example.
Thanks, Johannes. But I think it's a matter of, you know, step by step, I think. So it's maturing. Things are maturing.
I think if people want to have a community, a security community, we can organize that.
So let's see what the need is, I think. But I think if we share now, I think that should be on the premises that this is for private sharing. That was what we had been thinking about. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Totally.
Yeah.
And then you can always offer your newsletter, and then people will say yes or no.
Exactly.
Certainly.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Any ideas? Input? Thank you.
Yeah. I'm a very quiet Dutch guy, so. My specialty is not necessarily media. It definitely is not. And that's why I really joined the media group, because I felt like, in what I'm doing, I definitely want to be sharpened, and I'd like to know what is happening in the world in terms of communication. And when you talk ministry, you talk communication. When you talk one person, it's a different world. But if you talk two people, it's communication. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's very helpful to just learn a lot of those different areas. And you cannot really be real effective in ministry unless you have an understanding of those first parts too. And then there's a real value in connecting with the Marias and with others and saying, aha, I think I know where to connect you with. And that's really where my passion is. It's a lot more in the area of partnerships and building bridges. And you can't really build bridges unless you know both sides of the equation. So for me, it's a stimulating type of environment. And helps me think outside of the box.
Mm. And we all need that, don't we?
Especially when the box changes a lot. That's
the box is moving.
Yeah.
That's right. And I suppose we are moving with the box as well. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes. I work in a Christian magazine for local church. We make it for almost 10 years every month, and we mostly share our experience to know about each other and to have testimonies and sometimes we also share it with some other people out of the church. And now, during coffee break, we discussed with one lady if this kind of paper media, maybe in local church or maybe national level, if it's still effective for church work or for evangelism, or if it's dinosaurs yet, and we should stop to do such work. So it's my question to anybody of you, what's your experience or what do you think?
So that's an important question and a huge question, isn't it? What are the effects of the technological developments in terms of the introduction of the internet and all the digital communications? What's then the effects and implications for everything that is done in print, whether it's newspapers or just, you know, what people are thinking about. I'll just tell you a very interesting example of what our local regional newspaper has done. Something very countercultural. They have actually now changed, they have developed their website a lot, and they are now offering the same content to all subscribers, regardless of platform. So it's the whole content of the, you know, the physical paper newspaper is given also via mobile or internet or whatever it is. But then, of course, the amount of material available to everyone is then reduced, just the, you know, to news items. So that's a very interesting countercultural, you know, move.
Yeah. I think an interesting part of that, of course, from the newspaper part, is your advertisers. Are you dependent on that, and are you able to bring some of that over to your electronic communication? And we have done a lot in terms of book and print publishing in the past, and especially for target audiences like youth ministry, there are so many resources that NES has such a small market, in, and especially in some countries, that we just said, hey, it costs us a lot less to just make it available free on the internet than trying to do the old-fashioned pumping it into the book distribution system and having it in your storage.
Any input, comments on the very important question there?
About this magazine, I published almost 16 versions of magazine, Amharic magazine, magazine. And now, even if you make it electronics, it will be PDF, and people don't have time to see and even to read the PDF, even. Not paper, even PDF. So I'm thinking to make it audio, because it doesn't take time for them, they don't want to see. For example, in America, in some countries, they say, when we want to sell it, some people say, tell me about it. Take the money, they summarize and tell me, because I don't want to take the paper, because they don't have time, they will throw it, so they just want to summarize. Mm-hmm. So it would be ideal if you can make it audio, they can have it with MP3, with iPod, so that anytime, even their car, they can use it, because time is so important. If for me, in my own experience, I probably for 5 years, and it was quarterly, but I'm thinking to have it audio, it would be more difficult.
Sure.
Just a follow up on the last two comments. I think one of the things that interests me, and maybe in other years, this is something you cover, but is firstly the impact of changing technology and how we should use that in communications. Most of you know that Facebook is floating or has floated out. I think it's about to. One analyst made a comment that actually I wouldn't invest in Facebook because people are abandoning Facebook for Twitter. You know, and maybe it's reached the end of its life. So the reality is that technology is changing quite rapidly, and that changes fashions in communication. And how we communicate, I think, is often dependent on demographics. You mentioned the point that some people haven't got time, so they want a soundbite. Some people do read the broadsheet newspapers, the Times, the Telegraph in the UK. I'm sure most countries have them, and they spend time reading a lot of articles. So I think that first point, understanding technological trends, but also how they map onto demographics. The other elements that perhaps you do cover, that I was hoping this week might have been covered, is more of a Christian critique on technology trends, because they are having some quite profound changes and impacts on our society, some quite negative. And I think for us as Christians to be very savvy, understanding of those trends, I think is quite important. The more difficult bit is then actually understanding what do we do about it. Do we go with the trend and just jump on the Twitter bandwagon because that's what people are currently using, regardless of maybe social consequences? So that's, I don't have any instant answers, but that's the sort of debate I would certainly find helpful.
And it seems to me, thanks, that's very important, and it seems to me that we are covering, you know, from different perspectives. One is from the perspective of for each one of us, where we are, how should we then decide in terms of strategic decisions. You shared about yesterday, Henrik, about some very important strategic decisions that have been made and that have changed a lot. And now you are facing something of how to continue, what should be continued, what should be discontinued and changed into something else. And that's definitely very tough questions. But I think linking that to something like a broader view of and that could be definitely be a session next year, you know, on the technological developments and the need both to critique and to understand and to engage with. And of course there will be different ways of doing that. We're not looking for copying each other, we're looking for supplementing each other and encouraging each other and challenging each other as well. You know, why do you do this? Is this really effective? Is it really authentic in terms of content? Is it relevant in terms of culture and so on? And so, so those things. Thanks. That's important.
Is here an idea that is grounded in some experience back home in Norway, where we actually found that if we make the newsletter, the local church's newsletter, smaller, just highlighting the most important issues, and then please go to the website and get more information. Because then we find that they have something in their hand, and they can actually take time to read a tiny little bit, and they get exactly what the pastor and the leadership wants them to really know something about, and then click into the website and read more. And they also think here it's very wise to be aware of taking a small step and see how will this be received. And please don't abandon, don't get rid of the magazine like that, because it takes time for people to get used to actually using the internet, and some wouldn't click into that. That's just from our experience.
Yeah, you do need to think about generational differences in the church context, especially.
Yeah.
It's fine for us within Denaris to do all of our publishing electronically or virtually all of it. But in a church context where you've got people who are never going to get a computer because they're of a generation where they have no interest, you can't disenfranchise those people.
I think also like the resources that we provided, we sent on the last film, we sent out over 700 to the University of the Third Age, and they are 65 plus. Most of them needed it in written, like printed format, because they wouldn't have downloaded it. A lot of them didn't even have email addresses. So in a way, you've got to think about, and people are living long now, so you know there is a huge percentage of people out there that wouldn't use it.
And that illustrates, you know, the different groups that one has to engage with and being sensitive to the needs of the various groups.
Yeah, I think that going from print to online, it depends on your target, who you are addressing. And the printing gives you a little bit of credibility in some cultures, but also if the people are not reading anymore the printing magazines, then you should do something. I think that you don't have to send PDF files, 9 megabytes. It will take an eternity to download. And then after a while, people do not have Adobe Reader or something else. So they will delete the email. If you keep the content on the web and you announce the people every week 2 main articles, then you keep the people coming to read it. Those readers who just look over the
your magazine. So it depends on very much on the people, on the target, and how you read them, and how do you address them.
That's a very wide surprise.
Any other ideas or comments?
This is the time for it. Yes.
Sorry. Instead of PDF files, you could go for MOBI or EPUB, and then probably if people want to put that on their e-readers, that might be a solution on a long term if you want to develop best drives. But that depends on the frequency of your readers and their page. But I think now Kindle is developing more and more, and then the Android and iPad and so on, so that might be another platform for reading.
Again, good advice. We need that to share that. Thank you. So that was one important area. Any other areas that we, just before moving into some time for prayer, which we talked about? Tony, any reflections?
No, I think the key reflection for me is, I mean, we've talked about these three areas now for quite some time since Cape Town, but it seems to me that whatever part you feel you work in, you really need to do some thinking about the others as well,
yeah,
because there is so much interrelation. If your focus is on internet ministry, media ministry, I mustn't say internet ministry, but media ministry, and you're not aware of the cultural context in which that's working, you're not really thinking about critiquing that, then it's not going to be targeted well enough. If you're somebody who's involved in mainstream media, in the presence kind of category, again, you've got to be understanding the context, but also thinking about, we need to be always alert to new things that we can do. Are there ways in which we can develop new ministries and new ways of engaging with people? And it's, I think, particularly in this kind of area, we of all people should not be just getting stuck into the what we do. We're getting this tunnel vision. We've got to be. I mean, that's the joy of this. We're coming from such different areas, and it makes us just look sideways a little bit. And if we can encourage each other looking sideways, thinking laterally, rather than just doing the next obvious thing, what's actually the best thing, but actually that what the best thing to do might come from somewhere else, and the joy of the media technology that's available to us is that there's so much flexibility, so we must just settle, I think, for what we have.
Yes, and I think that's very important, because all of us relate to all three areas to some extent, whereas we may have our main ministry or main focus within one of them, either within direct church mission related or within the literacy, the media critique, the analytical side, or more on working in the main with or within the mainstream media, whatever that is. So I think we need that. I think the significance of the categories is that they, as you said, they open up, helps us to widen our horizon, and actually to see the value of other Christians working with other things than we are doing, and that seeing other interrelations, other possibilities of supporting, encouraging, inspiring each other. And how do we do that? And in a way, this is setting the scene for it. And then we have to follow up and to do, the actual implications, reflecting on that and connecting each one of us, I think, on the basis of that. Because that cannot be a group of 20, 25, cannot do that together meaningfully for each one. It has to be something that we reflect on. I think maybe we should encourage each other to reflect prayerfully, on that, and take that with us now as we move into the time of prayer. How can we take this wealth of material, but also wealth of inspiration and encouragement, And to see, you know, someone like Pete Saunders, for example, interacting with mainstream media in such a creative way, in such a bold way, that's, for me, that's extremely encouraging. I must say that. And to hear Henrik, you know, sharing what is on your heart about what has happened through your ministry, through making some very significant and tough choices. That's also very inspiring. I mean, just to take two examples out of many could have been taken, but and I'm sure you would have said the same for other things as well. So, should we turn it to...
Now, I have also one question. When we started off the series, there was a comment like, media almost like in spite of the church, where the church is always kind of behind. And my question is, what would be the ideal picture of the church and media? Can we pray at least for that? Mm-hmm. And what can be our attitude? What can be our what steps can we take?
That's a very important question. And maybe that should be also a topic for next year. I don't think we have time to cover it now, but it's raised. We need some rest.
I think praying against the fear of media. I think a lot of people in the church, and I'm not condemning this at all, but don't have a television because they're scared of what their children will see, and often it's got a stigma around, social network. What is this social networking, and very restrictive about what they need. And actually, I think that kind of spiritually pray against that fear, because actually that's the medium in which that most people are reached, whether you realise it or not. And I think that as a church, it'd be great to go in courageously with revelation from God, rather than with kind of fear and trembling, I suppose.
Yeah, that was the first I wanted to mention. Like media, we were talking about reaching through the media to reach out people. But my question is, even to reach out in us awareness about the role of the media. Mm-hmm. In my culture, for example, most of the people, my generation, the moment you talk about internet, they think about pornography, in Jesus' name, something like that. It takes time to explain to them that it can be used for good. Now I have a conference, a small workshop in Ethiopia, July 14, to all influential church leaders to create awareness how to read.
In Addis?
In Addis.
Yeah.
I have it, I expect 80 to 100 people. From 80 to 100.
That's a small Ethiopian.
Yeah, small Ethiopian, but I can't afford. I'm doing it myself. Something. So to tell them that it is positive. I know some pastors, they don't have email address. If you ask them, they say, I don't have it, I'll get it soon, something. Well, but after some time, they'll know it's too late. We are behind.
And of course, then that needs to be put into the context of what I think you shared, Tony, the first day about the explosive growth of media, both in terms of mobiles, internet, and so on, in Africa, as the leading continent exponentially in terms of percentage. So, to be prepared for that context, that's hugely important for church leaders in the Global South, and as we did touch on a number of times. So, thanks for sharing.
It was an important reminder from Johannes as well that we are wanting to use the media for good, but it is, pornography is a massive reality. Those of us who live in a media world, we particularly need to guard ourselves. Mm. As Noel was reminding ourselves last night, to keep the vermin out of the house. And helping others, because most of us are more technologically aware than people within our churches. Mm. And my experience is that people in my home church, the vast majority of them, clever people, they don't know how to lock down their networks to protect their kids. So all those kinds of issues, we need to guard ourselves. Particularly
help
others to do so.
Let's just pray together then. Just wanted to remind us of one verse. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith and your labor prompted by love and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the wonderful triad, you know, the triangle of faith, love, and hope. Yes. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
What verse is that?
That's 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And it's often, you know, Paul's letters, he starts with this, you know, with faith, hope, and love. And I think I remember once John Stott saying that faith is related to God, love to others, and hope to the future. I think that's a wonderful way of expressing it.